The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
If you're listening to the Pat Kenny Show this morning, you would have heard the Ryanair CEO, Michael O'Leary, chatting to him about a whole host of things. Amongst them, whether we need an infrastructure minister in this country. With me to discuss, Dr. Francis Ruan, Chair of the State's National Competitiveness and Productivity Council, and Conor Skeehan, Sunday Independent columnist and former Chair of the Housing Agency. You're both very welcome. Thanks a million for joining me. Francis, do we need a minister for infrastructure?
Well, let me say, just from a Competitiveness and Productivity Council point of view, one of our methodologies is to look at how we do across different metrics across our major competitors. So infrastructure is one of those, and it's a block actually in the IMD competitiveness study. There are three other blocks. There's economic, there's skills, and there's, I've forgotten the other one, I just haven't come around to the moment. But the crucial thing is we do persistently worse on infrastructure. And right at cost, we have done over the last 12, 15 years. In the others, we typically get into the top 10, or we're close to the top 10, nibbling away at it. In the case of infrastructure, we're lucky to get into the top 20. Well, a lot of the times we've been way down in the low 30s, in the 30s. So it's not a new problem. This issue of managing infrastructure is persistent and there for a long time. Now you come to the question of whether a minister for infrastructure is the solution to this. And it's an interesting idea to take that out and pull that out there. And I suppose I've been too long around the block to see how restructurings of ministries and changes actually ends up delaying things very much further. So I would go back to the core issue. Why is the infrastructure process not improving? Now, we do have Pascal Donoghue set up this committee a year ago to do the accelerated NDP programme to get this, you know, this infrastructure out to 2040. He set that up. It's now a year in operation. It's reporting. I think the big question to be asking Pascal Donoghue is, has it made the progress he would have expected? And how is that working out? Because in a sense, he's been put across these areas as a quasi Minister for infrastructure, because all of those areas, not all of them, but a lot of the government areas are in those. So I think we have a huge problem, and I think it's the state's problem, and infrastructure is a big part of it. But I think that a minister would, in my view, not be the route to go. Appeal to Michael O'Leary, it's kind of, vum, that's what you do. But I don't think that's...
Yeah, listen, there's maybe a reason he said it. We're still talking about it 12
exactly.
hours later.
That's right.
It makes a good headline.
But what company does he work for again?
Exactly. But to the shortcoming that you highlight there, that is shown up in these reports as compared to kind of our European neighbours and others, what is the reason for that?
It's across a whole range of areas. Now, not all areas are covered, and these are indicators. So what we do in the council is we look at indicators and then we try to do a deep dive into it. So when we started looking at this issue of the slow delivery of the NDP about 5 years ago, we just came across a whole sets of areas. Decisions were not being made. So first of all, we didn't have policies. Then we got the policies, but we were slow to implement them. Then we ended up particularly with the planning process, which was, you know, has been talked about since I remember as an undergraduate, people talking about the planning process. We talked about the planning process and basically all the delays that were in that. Now, there's tracks on the way to try to improve it, but I still think we have some fundamental problems that go back to how we structure decision making and not having the central government, local government mechanisms that are crucial for infrastructure delivery. I mean, we changed our approach to local government in the 1970s. We changed the funding mechanism for it. But actually, most infrastructure is delivered locally. And even if the local government isn't directly involved, it's in the area, it's at that county development that it takes place. So I think we've a lot of missing, if we were doing a Lego thing here, we'd be missing a lot of bricks that you would think would be fairly crucial to it.
Well, Conor Skeehan, you and I have talked about local government and the need for local government reform as well. So is that one of the shortcomings?
I can provide you one of those little loop tapes and you can just press it every time Conor Skeehan comes in instead of bringing me in. So I'd say the same thing over and over again, where the most centralised
in
all of Europe, and we have to stop addressing the symptoms and start to address the causes of governance. And that's an excessively centralised system of government which has got massive duplication in infrastructure, for instance, with energy. A decision has to be made by the Minister for Energy, by the air grid, by the regulator, plus whatever will happen in planning and plus whatever department. There's five different people trying to make a decision.
Yeah, but energy is a national concern. Does it not make sense that all those decisions are made at a national level rather than kind of ad hoc on a local authority basis?
Fundamental to the business about devolution is an understanding of the principle of subsidiarity, which decisions belong at a national level and which belong at a local level. In Ireland, we are making decisions about counting pencils in a school in Carraseveen, while we should be making strategic large-scale decisions. That's how the whole system gets so choked. People are wasting their time doing the wrong things that are not relevant to them.
OK, so the issue is that at national level that there are things that are within their bailiwick, and rightfully so, but
correct,
there's plenty more that they are wasting their time on.
And not only are they wasting their time, but they're doing so in a way that is extraordinarily risk-averse. These are people who are not in the business of taking decisions. Going back to the business we were talking about at the start, when the bill went through Parliament, as it used to be called, to allow a railway to go from Dublin to Cork, they had it in place from Dublin to Port Leisha in 24 months. And that was people who had asses and carts and shovels. That's how slow we've become.
But have we been that slow since the 19th century? Or like, has there been a point? And I'm thinking of, because I'm one of the kind of the beneficiaries of the motorway system. Yeah. I drive up and down it every day. And that happened very quickly in my mind.
We put our whole motorway system in place in less than 15 years and did it really, really well. We built the Port Tunnel incredibly quickly and incredibly well. We've done a whole lot of projects incredibly quickly and incredibly well when we choose to do so.
So, Francis, when we look at those projects, the Port Tunnel, the motorway network, the Lewis as well, kind of in and around the same time period, a lot of those were delivered. How is it that we managed to deliver them successfully?
You've got to I agree with Conor and virtually all he's saying. What I think is important to remember, though, is this economy has had a particular history. We've grown at an average of over 3% a year for the last 40 years. Amazing. Nobody else has done it. That's on average. But that was with highs of 9 and with lows of -9. Mm. So that volatility, I think, has led to an inconsistency in the way that we've kind of got into planning. So there's a kind of the risk aversion that he's talking about, I would see as being embedded in the fact that senior decision makers have gone through terrible times and they remember what happened in the terrible time. They were very cautious. So coming out of the global financial crisis and then on foot of Brexit, there was a caution about not making investment in infrastructure. We didn't know, what were we doing with housing? What were we thinking?
Just in infrastructure. We did the same thing with housing. We've done it with energy. We've done it with infrastructure. We've done it with educational policy. That's a very long list and you have a very short time. It's a very long list and it's characterised by indecision. One of the key things about the three points that Ciarán just raised, they all were put in place by specialist implementation bodies that sidestepped the typical structures. Such was the frustration. So we had the railway procurement orders that allowed the Lewis to go through. The tunnel went through as a kind of a sidebar note from Dublin Port, and the whole motorway system was put in place by the precursor of TII.
Interesting about the motorway one was the first motorway stretches had cost overruns and were late. We learnt it. We put it into place. So what's really interesting about a lot of the infrastructure now is like the motorway type. Yeah. It is the energy ones. It's the ones to make for green energy. But we have to make sure that we can have a system that will do it in a way that doesn't lead to delays, that people are feeling one-off and it's a special project. It's not. It's actually more of the same. What are the principles? And who are the skilled people who are implementing it?
But you mentioned the National Development Plan and Project Ireland 2040. Was this not a step in that direction? That it was kind of counter-cyclical planning, so you weren't dependent on the +9 and then suddenly plummeting down to the -9?
No, that is partly what it's about, and putting money aside is a really good thing. So we're doing that bit of it right. And actually what we have done, I think, and Conor and I disagree of this, but we have put in place a national spatial framework. It's not very strong. It's being revised and looked at the moment, and statutorily it has to have that done this year. But that's the first time, remember 2018 was the first time that we linked the NDP to how we wanted to plan spatially. I mean, if you were looking for the single cause of the disconnect in the economy in terms of infrastructure, you go back to the fact that those two were never put together. So way, way back when we started having the big NDPs from Europe, we didn't have a spatial framework that we were thinking about. We weren't thinking about where are people living, where are people working, where are they driving from, where are they going to, are there trains, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the big gap. And we're just late into the day on the spatial planning side. And that's the reality. And we need to accelerate on that if we're to get the right decisions.
She's not wrong, but we're using the wrong instrument. So the NDP and the National Planning Framework have been hijacked by activists who have very powerful views about what they think we should do. There's an extraordinary democratic deficit at the heart of both of those, where there's a small group of unelected and unaccountable people deciding what we should do with our lives and how we go forward into the future. Mm. That phrase of Parnell in the statue at the top of Connell Street should be read. Let no man stand in the way of a country's progress into the future, where they think they want to go themselves. Our country, how it ends up looking, is a reflection of our values. It doesn't matter whether, with all due respects, an accountant or an economist or a planning idealist thinks it should be. The way a country
Sorry, but is there not a democratic deficit, though, at the heart of, say, the railway procurement orders and the other things that you mentioned well?
Yeah, there is.
And but you're advocating them.
No, I'm not. I keep saying that proper democracy, all successful democracies are managed. They're managing capitalism. They're managing the animal spirits that lie at the heart of economies. There's no such thing as a free lunch for everybody, but a good society is one that manages those choices and does it in a way that people at least participate and are aware of the decisions that are being taken on their behalf.
But I would say, with regard to that, Conor, we have never had the public conversation on space, on how we want to plan this. That's where the demographic, that's where the deficit comes from.
Absolutely.
There's local people making decisions in their areas in Galway or parts of Cork or parts of Wexford or whatever else. And there's consultation processes around projects. We should be having more of that. The difficulty is, if you say that publicly, Francis, that'll slow things down. But actually, if you're to get the right decisions, you do have to have these consultation processes. And we've landed ourselves now with a situation where, because we had one-off housing all over the country, it's going to be very hard to find any places to put on land windmills. Mm. And even it'll be difficult to organise to have offshore. And that's our future energy. That's our future down the line. So we haven't set ourselves very well up to be able to accommodate the infrastructure we require for a future sustainable energy.
Fascinating stuff. Thank you both very much for joining me. Dr. Francis Wan is chair of the state's National Competitiveness and Productivity Council. Conor Skehan, Sunday Independent columnist.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.